It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 21st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you had asked me to invest in the idea of people watching other people play video games even 5 years ago, I would have suggested your Xbox playing was making your brain soft. But over the weekend, ESPN2 actually aired a massive video game tournament. The finals begin today. The game is Defense of the Ancients 2, and its maker is popular private gaming company Valve. Watching other people play games is an idea whose time may have arrived. Online streaming site Twitch does it, YouTube does it, and now the biggest name in television sports does it too. Why? Leonida Inge reports.
Tickets to Dota 2 sold out in an hour. 17,000 tickets, that is. And millions of people were expected to watch the games on ESPN2, ESPN3, and online. Eric Johnson is with Valve, the company behind Dota 2.
This is a huge amount of fun for us. We're all fans, and we get to kind of show off a little bit and put on a big show for everybody.
Everybody includes hordes of young men, ages 18 to 34, a group advertisers love. Nicholas Taylor teaches digital media at North Carolina State. He says cable tried airing gaming championships in 2008, but the timing was wrong. Not anymore.
As it may have been, a shot in the dark, let's put it that way, for ESPN 6 years ago, is now probably a pretty sure bet in 2014 and going forward.
ESPN says it hasn't committed to any other esports coverage, but Taylor says the sport is so big, it's going to happen. I'm Leonida Inge for Marketplace.
We've reported on the new partnership between IBM and Apple. The idea is that IBM will develop over 100 apps geared towards business and big data and analytics for the iPhone and iPad. Apple gets new business customers for its hardware. Everybody wins, right? But a majority of mobile users are using their devices for entertainment, not enterprise. So we wanted to get some specifics from someone. That someone is Senior Vice President of IBM Global Business Services, Bridget Van Kralingen. Bridget, thanks for chatting with us.
You're very welcome.
Talk to me a little bit about how this deal happened.
Well, it's been in the works for actually quite some time, but it really was, mutual approach and conversations between a couple of key players who really had this thought that mobile is just incredibly powerful in improving workflow for any and every worker in corporations.
I just want to challenge this idea just a little bit, because I walked into my bank and the manager at the bank was carrying a tablet, and I said, "You got to tell me, is this thing really useful to you?" Basically, the answer that I got out of her was no.
What you're talking about is, and I agree with you, a lot of iPads have been used more for show and tell versus the ability to really, complete a process, like do a transaction. If you imagine sitting on a plane, right, and it's delayed sitting on the tarmac, and everyone's stressing out about connections, flight attendants, right, having iPads loaded with every passenger's connection information, start the alternative bookings for those who aren't going to make their original connection. So to your point, the real benefit of these things is often for people who are untethered from desks, and they could actually improve the decision-making quality or provide a better service.
Bridget Van Kralingen is Senior Vice President, IBM Global Business Services. Bridget, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Ben.
Digital maps these days are full of information and multi-layered, but what if you wanted maps of just one kind of data in a city environment? Only coffee shop locations, only places where there's graffiti. Well, a team of people at MIT's Media Lab is working on just this kind of thing. Sep Kamvar is the LG Associate Professor of Media Arts and Sciences and is leading the You Are Here project. Sep, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so tell me about the main idea behind the You Are Here project.
I had moved from San Francisco to Cambridge a couple years ago, and I realized that the cities are quite different. And they're quite different in a number of ways because of lots of tiny little design decisions that were made, from things like the width of the sidewalks to the number of trees on the streets to the proximity of independent coffee shops and so on and so forth. And so I thought it was interesting that a traditional map will just tell you where the roads and the buildings are, but that just tells you a small part of what makes up a city. And so I thought it would be interesting to make 100 different maps of a city.
What do you hope that readers will get from these maps?
You know, my hope is that each of these maps gives some information about how to make the city a little bit of a better place. So, for example, one of the maps that we do, we use Google Street View and image recognition to find where all the trees are, and we make a tree map of the city. And that gives a really good idea about where one should plant more trees.
Do you have a favorite in the collection?
You know, a map that's in process that we haven't launched yet is we simulate the Earth going around the sun, and we take a look at the light as it shines on the buildings and simulate where shade happens. And then we have a map of where the places are sunniest and where the places are shadiest.
Can you give me a hint of where we might see some of these maps pop up next?
You know, there's been a lot of requests for London, so that might be our first international city.
Sep Kamvar is an associate professor at MIT's Media Lab. He's been working on the You Are Here data mapping project. Sep, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
If you want to check out more of Sep's project, you can do so at youarehere.cc. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.